preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
This church in Smyrna was really taking a beating. They had stood against the culture. Remember, in this pagan culture, they were worshiping the emperor as a god. They were saying that Caesar is Lord. They were burning incense to his bust, and all these temples were going up. Even in Smyrna, they had the Dia Romana, which was a temple personifying Rome as a goddess. And everyone was expected to be patriotic, to be loyal to the empire, and worship these pagan deities. And the amazing thing about the church in Smyrna is it was not wavering. And they didn't just put bolts up on the door and chains. They went out there and they spoke in love to these people, telling them to turn from these gods. And Christ is very encouraging to this church. He sees what they're facing. He knows they face poverty. They've lost property. They've been persecuted for their stands for Christ. And so here he begins to call them to courage. And you will see how he does this and how he applies this to us. He says, don't fear those things which you are about to suffer. And then he tells them that they are going to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. This is so important today. When I used to read things like this, and I hear in third world of Christians suffering awfully, I used to think, you know, we've got it so good here, we don't face any of that, and we do. But as I've reflected on that more, I do think that mentality can be a very dangerous mentality because it makes us very complacent thinking that we're not in a fight right now. When those days come, I sure hope the Lord gives me strength, but you know, for now, eat, drink, and be merry. We've got it good. And I realized this when a pastor friend went overseas to Russia and these hurting Christians in China and these suffering Christians, and they asked him, how do you do it in America? We pray for you. You know, over here, we have nothing to lose, and we're being persecuted physically for the faith. But you know, how do you do it when you have everything? What a thought, isn't it? That there's three sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And that we are constantly being bombarded and attacked in different ways here. And do we even take a stand for Christianity? Do we even count the cost? We're more worried about how well our bands are doing on Sunday. I mean, this is just incredible to think about, isn't it? When I consider the church in Smyrna, Jesus just looked at this church, which had been very faithful in standing against idolatry and has suffered poverty for it, slander. Now he says, you're really going to be tested. The devil himself is going to focus all his energy on you, and your church is going to be heavily persecuted 10 days, and some of you will be put to death. You know this happened? You've heard the name Polycarp. He was the pastor of the church in Smyrna. In AD 156, he fled because they wanted to take him out. When they tracked him down, he didn't run, he fed them. The officer who brought him back to the city pleaded with him, what harm can it do? Just make a sacrifice to the emperor. He could not. Well, they brought him into the city's amphitheater, and they commanded him to swear by the genius of Caesar, or what? And they said, revile Christ. You know what Polycarp said? When this happened, he looked at his church because 14 Christians of that city, of that church in Smyrna, were seized and dragged into the public arena where they were fed to wild beasts. All but one died gloriously, one even slapping the animal and seemed to be too lazy to attack him. The crowd began to shout for Polycarp. When they brought out Polycarp, they said to him, swear by the fortune of Caesar, repent, declare death to the atheists. You know what Polycarp said? I've served this Jesus for 86 years. and he's never done me any harm. Why should I then blaspheme against my king and my savior? If you do not repent, I shall have you burned at the stake, Polycarp. You threaten me with fire that burns for an hour and then dies down. But do you know the eternal fire of the justice that is to come and devour the ungodly? Come, don't delay, do with me what you want. It was the Jews of Smyrna that grabbed the wood for Polycarp's fire. My question today is, why was the Lord allowing this? You know, that's what we ask. Two reasons come out here. Notice what he said. All this is happening that you may be tested. You realize as a church, we will face periods of testing. How does it usually come? It usually comes in controversy. The church has to say that some behavior or some practice is wrong. The church has to direct people's lives. And what happens when people want to justify their idolatries, their sin? When the church doesn't support it, they get mad. And the church goes through a great trial. You know, someone's going to get mad. They're going to get people on their side, and you have a blow up, don't you? You're going to have all these tests along the way in the church. And the Lord is telling us here what happens to us with these tests. The tests are used and are designed to distinguish true and false believers. That's one thing that happens. You should always be recognizing that when we come into controversy, we're being tested for a purpose. But there's something else. The church is often tested with hardship and persecution to train a body to remember that in this world, we are to expect to suffer. This is part of our cost of discipleship. And what are we suffering for, primarily? What did Jesus say in the Gospels? Woe to you if all men speak well of you, for that's how their fathers treated the false prophets. Why then are we hated by the world? It's our message. You know, the world is in sin. The kingdoms of this world are not the answer. The political things that go on in our countries that seek to raise up another leader to give all, that's not the answer. The reality is, everyone's under the wrath of God because of sin. And unless people repent, they go to a place of awful torment called hell. And Jesus is the only way of escape. And you either have one of two masters. You cannot love Christ and Belial. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is the whole exclusive claims of Christianity. None of Christ's standards are popular with anything the kingdoms of this world value, including the U.S. And think about it, you know? We promote honesty in business, marriage between a man and a woman for life, contentment with what you have, self-control, sacrificial living. Do you see any of these values in the world? See, the Lord is showing us through this church that when we maintain the ways of Christ and we follow Christ, we will suffer. And this has been the problem in America, that we avoid this at all costs because of offense, counting the cost for Christ, thereby avoiding that cost. And you know, that's largely why the church is ineffective in the U.S. today. I don't want persecution. Listen, let me make that clear. I don't want it. I don't welcome it. But I know that as a follower of Christ, a disciple is not greater than his teacher. If Christ suffered for the truth, shouldn't we to some degree expect to? If he was hated for exposing sin, shouldn't we be? If he was hated for his boldness, don't you think our churches should be? Listen, here's the point. If Smyrna were here today, what kind of church would it look like? It would be a church putting into action its convictions and love for Christ. And it suffered for the single great reason that it was uncompromising in the truth of the Word of God. You see, the church in the U.S. today, the churches in the U.S., they have no concept of this. Meaning, most of the churches in this land, right, are not really taking a stand on very much. And what's the Lord saying? The Lord is encouraging the church in Smyrna that was doing this. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. Don't be afraid to speak the truth in love against this idolatry. You know, this is the issue today. We can really avoid a lot of physical suffering and poverty and slander of people saying things against us. That's what everyone's worried about, is what are people saying about us? Only, you know, we can get all that if we remain silent, non-dogmatic, you know, when we don't speak against sin. But that's not what we signed up for as Christians. Did you get that? That's not what we signed up for as Christians. And what is the Lord calling us to today? Do not fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. So that's where the test comes alive. Faith is seen in our willingness to trust the Lord and do what is right, even when behind it we fear what the consequences might be. Faith embraces the word, and the fruit of trusting Christ is what? Means that whatever the consequences that follow from our willingness to be uncompromising in the truth and as churches, that belongs to the Lord. He will do what's right. This is what we must learn. This is what Christians had to learn all throughout their lives in these periods before us. Hebrews 13, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's the perspective, isn't it? The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him. You see, that's what he's calling the Christians in Smyrna to remember. And whatever comes their way, act on the principles. Act on principle, not fear. Honor the word. Stand for the truth. Flee idolatry. And in doing it, don't fear, because the one you serve has the authority not only to kill the body, but this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the authority to kill the body and soul in hell. In other words, no matter how bad it gets, Christ holds the keys of death and Hades. He's in control of human destiny. And so this is something always to think about, dear listener, you know, counting the cost, standing. What good is a church if it won't speak the truth in love? What good is a church if it won't stand on the word of God? What good is a church that has become effeminate with pastors who just pat you on the back and speak nice, smooth, sweet things? You're just a social club. You're not fulfilling the mandate Christ has given us as a church to be faithful unto death, to the witness of his name, to stand for Christ, to hold fast his truth, to love him unto death. This is the calling today of the church. We are set apart to be his witnesses and to do that in love to a lost and dying world at whatever the cost is, because we have a better city that awaits us. A new Jerusalem, a heavenly land, a land of milk and honey that waits all of those who believe unto the Lord, into the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way in life and in death. So let's remain strong in our calling by grace to testify of the powerful name of Jesus Christ to the nations. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Day. We'd love to have you join us for worship. LindenURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.